Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the third episode of The Masterson Inheritance, an improvised historical saga of a family at war with itself. You have already heard the violent history of the Masterson family through to the end of the 18th century. Our team of performers will tonight attempt to spontaneously enact the succeeding chapter of a story based entirely on the suggestions of our studio audience. No script, no rehearsals, just an audience and a couple of microphones. To bring you this story of intrigue, iniquity, and inbreeding, tonight we have Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Right then, now, we'd like to take our story to a distant land this week. We'd like to travel it abroad. So the first suggestion we need from our audience is a reason why someone might go to sea, or why someone might travel to a distant land. Why might someone do that? Any ideas? Heartbreak.
To avoid his poll tax payments.
We're talking about the early 19th century, rather than the 15th or the 20th. So we got heartbreak. Someone said something over there. What was that?
Gambling debts.
Gambling debts. Should we combine gambling debts and heartbreak? That's a pretty good reason, or a couple of reasons, isn't it? Now, on the ship, what's in the cargo hold? Any idea?
Dynamite
and rum.
Sheep.
All right, then. Well, we'll settle for dynamite, rum and sheep. A potent mix, if ever there was. Now, a suggestion of a character defect or a bad habit that someone might have.
Farting.
Oh, look, a lot of approval over there. All right, farting. We'll go for farting then. Now, remembering our nautical or seafaring theme, now what about a suggestion of a title for this week's episode?
Scurvy.
Sounds like a musical, doesn't it? Just scurvy. That's very good. So, our suggestions tonight are gambling and heartbreak, dynamite, rum and sheep, farting, and scurvy. The Masterson Inheritance, Book 3, Scurvy. London Docks, a bustling and busy place. A place of much activity, especially in the early 19th century. But amongst all this bustle is a young man saying farewell, for he is setting off on a long journey. He's saying farewell to his dear mother. His name is Robert.
What is it, Mother? Don't cry. You know how much it upsets me to see you cry so. If you don't cry, I'm going to have to... If you don't stop crying, I'm going to have to hit you again.
Robert, I have one piece of advice for you.
Yes?
As you set out on your voyage to
what
Lord
is that,
knows
Mama?
Where... Always take your vitamin C tablets after breakfast. You know you're a very weak child.
That's true.
And you don't want to get something terrible when you're on board with all those sailors.
So, for a moment we leave this tender scene and go to Captain William Porter, captain of the good ship Endeavour, the ship upon which Robert will sail. He is welcoming aboard a very special passenger, Lady Grace Selhurst, who is taking passage to the Americas.
Your caskets, yes. You seem to have brought rather a lot of caskets with you.
Oh, yes. I bought every jewel that's ever been passed down my family.
Well, I hope our ship will be able to stay afloat.
Thank you so much.
She introduced her serving maid, Catherine, a pretty girl of comely appearance, which the captain noticed immediately.
This is comely Catherine, my son. You can call her comely if you like.
How do you do, Captain? Pleased to meet you. Pleased to make your acquaintance, if you'd be so kind, begging your pardon, sir.
Very nice to meet you. I hope you'll join me at my table.
Oh, that would be charming. Charming. Catherine?
Yes, miss?
Do up your blouse.
Sorry, miss.
And as the ladies made...
The air.
And as the ladies made their way to the quarters, there was a grumbling for the sailors. For they did not like the idea of women folk aboard ship. It was considered bad luck, and they muttered about what might befall them because of it.
Well, frankly, I could do without the women coming
in. Back on the dock, Robert was saying his final farewells to his mother.
Mother, you'll make me sick, but one day I may forget you. I'm going to another land, somewhere that isn't home, somewhere that's away. A bit like the way when West Bromwich Albion play Wolverhampton Wanderers. At Molyneux, they could be considered away, not at home. America is going to be my Molyneux. I shall be in the visitor's dressing room if you need me.
Son.
I hope some of this makes sense to your mother, because I understand you have no knowledge of football at all. And I'm just saying it just to confuse you even further.
I do, son. Always I carry a little photograph of Nobby Stiles and Asa Hartford.
A photograph in the 1820s? What a wonderful thing. And who is this Nobby Stiles of whom you speak?
Someone who in the future will be very great and have very few teeth.
Ah, the ambition of every man.
Robert, you may be going far away.
There's no maybe about it. I've booked me tickets. I'm off.
I want you to take...
No, I can't take your face cream. You need more than I do.
No, not my face cream, Robert. See? Oh. A little piece that will be forever home in your heart. My locket.
But supposing you get a sore throat?
I'm an old woman, Robert.
Yes, and an ugly one. You've done what?
I've sucked all the sweets I'm going to suck. You take
them. Well, I don't know. You might still get your cab fare home. And look.
Take this locket and
yes,
keep it.
I will.
But never, ever open it unless you're in trouble.
I shall remember your words, Mama.
Goodbye, sweet boy. Sweet, lovely boy.
Goodbye, toothless old hag.
So he turned and slowly walked up the gangplank. Up the gangplank to the ship, and indeed to his destiny, where he was greeted by the captain, Captain William Porter.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Do you have a good entertainment programme aboard the ship? I'd rather pass them to deck quoits.
We have every kind of...
There's no need to shout. I'm standing next to you. You salty buffoon.
I'm allowed to shout. I'm the captain of this ship.
Ooh, get you.
Robert would soon find that he could not be as cheeky on board ship as he was on land. For the terrifying punishments which awaited him if he kept up this sort of thing.
The last man who was as cheeky to me as you've been.
As cheeky? What was he, an Abbot?
Was Keel Hall.
Oh. I see, then I shall mind my P's and Q's. I shall dot my I's and cross my T's.
So Robert went off to find his bunk. I said,
anybody here want to meet me? My name's Robert.
far away from this English scene, in the middle of the Atlantic, is a different scene. Is another ship, but a ship with a darker purpose. A ship whose purpose it is to take from other ships. Yes, yes, yes. A pirate ship. A pirate ship run by a ruthless pirate known only as the Black Main.
Come up here and have a bottle of rum, you little naughty.
These are no ordinary pirates, for these pirates are the famous female pirates of the Atlantic. The Black Main, a fearsome, fearsome creature feared by all sea-going types.
That last ship that we scuppered, we went on board and we got all those sailormen and soon pulled their bell-bottoms down and their ankles.
Not a man left in one piece.
No,
all shaken, gibbering wrecks by the time we finished with them.
And one of them was brought in, a prisoner from that last ship, and thrown at their feet. He was begging for mercy, but it was to no avail.
Damn you, what do you want? Why did you drag me here? Oh, you look lovely in your chains, young man.
We've got some little jobs for you in the sleeping quarters.
Yes.
What sort of little jobs do you mean?
Well, we're women with women's needs. You'll be the only man that ain't tired out by now. So we need you down below. I'm just going to go for a...
That suits me fine. Should I start now?
So get you downstairs and strip your bottom half of your clothing and we'll be down immediate.
Very well, I'll go downstairs and take my shoes and socks off.
And that was how they dealt with their prisoners. No mercy. No mercy at all. Meanwhile, the good ship Endeavour was making good time out into the Atlantic Ocean. All was going well. The captain was in his cabin, talking to his lieutenant.
I'm a little bit worried about... Well, I suppose you've guessed. I've not been taking to the food very well on board ship.
No, you haven't, have you, sir? Your little bell-bottoms are flapping like crazy.
Look, I'm terribly sorry. Look, it's embarrassing, miss. How can one be a captain aboard ship with respect from other people if, well, I have this trouble with wind?
Have you thought of a cork, sir? It might backfire, but it could be fun. I don't know, sir. You're just going to have to stand up. Be captain. The men will respect you. They won't stand very close to you, but they'll respect you, sir. Now, can I go?
Very well. Thank you for your advice.
You're welcome.
So, lieutenant, well... So the lieutenant went, leaving the captain alone, alone with his own problem. Out on the forecastle was young Robert, looking out as the waves travelled past them, as the sea went beneath them, and they headed out towards a new land. Comely Catherine was taking a turn on the deck.
If this ship went a bit faster, we could do some water skiing.
Begging your pardon, sir, but I'm not really meant to be on the forecastle. I'm meant to be getting some fresh water for me lady who's down below at the moment, sir, but I've never seen a gent like you before, sir. I've always been kept downstairs before. Never been on a ship neither, no, so never I have, no, never no blimey.
Well, assuming that you've always been kept downstairs, I also assumed you'd never been aboard a ship, unless, of course, you're... parents had brought a ship below the stairs.
Oh, no, sir. My parents...
But my heart, it pounds, it beats.
I can hear it, sir.
Yes.
Or could it be the pounding of my heart, too?
It seems that our two hearts pound to a single beat.
Begging your pardon, sir. No, this isn't nothing for a girl to be saying to a gent such as you, but, sir, I think I love you.
Isn't that a song by David Cassidy?
I'm sorry, sir. The colour's come to my cheeks.
Yes, but don't worry. Green's very attractive.
No, sir. I must get the
it's
fresh water.
It's more sort of olive.
If my mistress knew she was... that I was...
But no, you can't.
What? Oh, you've got all my tongue all of a muddle.
I'll soon straighten that out for you. Meet me tonight, midnight, in the crow's nest.
The crow's nest?
Yes. All right.
What's your name?
It doesn't matter. It's a very small crow's nest. You'll recognise me. From the carnation in my coat.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
So she left him. She left him thoughtful. Thoughtful of the trouble he might be getting into. Meanwhile, back on the pirate ship. The ship known only as the Vixen. The two leading lady pirates were planning their next exploit. Ha!
We've got no money.
No money. And only one man.
That's right, and he's knackered.
Yes, if you've quite finished, I could go and get some air.
No, down you go again.
But
what?
What's this?
I don't know.
My faithful omen pigeon, Molly.
What does it say?
It says here that a ship is setting sail with a ladyship on board. Let's set sail, let's set course and follow that ship.
Aye, let's...
Soon we'll be rich.
Let's put the big sail up.
Yes, I just go for a poop on the mid deck.
Meanwhile, back on the good ship Endeavour, there were rumblings down in the seaman's room.
Well, frankly, it's all rather distressing. The vegetables in a terrible state. Not so much as the al dente all week. And the water. We're running out of it, chaps. I'm afraid this might mean we'll find ourselves in the dreaded state of being struck down by scurvy.
Oh, no.
There was a mumbling. The thing sailors feared the most. Scurvy. It struck fear into their very hearts.
That gets your complexion, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, I suggest we keep a close eye on our captain. It seems to me he's not steady at the helm. His bell-bottoms flap a little bit too much to my liking. If anything goes wrong, we have to be prepared to take over the ship. Are we agreed?
Aye. We're agreed.
Right. Who's for cappuccinos?
And so the sailors took their fateful decision. A decision they could not go back on. For a seaman to revolt, to mutiny, is a grave, grave matter indeed. Time passed. Midnight came. Up in the crow's nest was Robert, waiting for the young lady, comely Catherine. And all he could hear, wafting on the sea breeze, was the sound of an old sea shanty sung by the sailors. An old sea shanty that they sang every time the night fell and the wind was calm.
Night has fallen, wind is calm, yo boys, oh.
Night has fallen, yo boys, yo.
Night has fallen, wind is calm,
wind is calm,
yo boys, yo, oh, yo boys, yo.
It's quite nice, but it could do with a middle eight.
I don't think I can stand much more of this. 44 days we've been on this voyage, and those damn sailors sing the same song every night.
Can you help me up, please?
Yes, grab my hand.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I dropped something.
Allow me. Clogs suit a lady. We can always use them as ballast.
I don't know what I'm doing here, sir. In a crow's nest with a strange man who I hardly know but love so much.
Look over there.
See?
Yes. It's all around us, you know.
Isn't it wonderful? Water, water everywhere.
Yes, except for the ship in the middle.
You are poetic, sir.
Thank you.
Robert knew that he had to be truthful with this young lady, for she had won his heart. He knew he had to reveal all to her, for he could not love her if it was not honest. And so he told her. He told her why he had left his land, why he was journeying to another.
Begging your pardon, sir, but perhaps if
pick
I
a card! I bet you 15 doubloons that is the Jack of Spades.
It is, sir. Why, that's so clever of you, sir. The Jack of Spades. Oh, no, wait a minute. Queen of Hearts.
Then I owe you some doubloons.
Oh, sir, I'm not a gambling miss. And I hope you're not a gambling man, for my father told me to beware of them.
I have to tell you the truth. I am a gambling man. I've been banned from every casino in Great Britain.
Is that why you're setting sail for a foreign part?
Yes, because I've been banned from every casino in Great Britain. I'm a gambler, don't you understand? Everything is a gamble. For me, life is a gamble. That seagull over there, I'm willing to bet that seagull will reach land before we do.
But how will we know if he does or not, sir? You see, you can't gamble on fate. You can't gamble on the future.
I can't gamble on the past, can you? What do you mean I can't gamble on the future? That's horse racing knocked on the head then, isn't it? I go to the bookmakers and say, I'd like to put £100 bet on the 1943 Derby. Oh, no, I could gamble on the present, couldn't I? I want to bet £100 I've just walked in this shop. Yes, of course, everything you say is right, I know.
All I know is, and I won't take a gamble on it, that I do love you. I still don't know your name, sir.
Look, there's a string quartet floating past. It's a wreck from HMS Mozart. Oh, the Bournemouth Sinfonia.
It's so romantic, sir.
Yes.
Can I be so bold and ask for a kiss, sir?
You certainly can. When do you propose to ask for a kiss?
That 5 o'clock on Tuesday.
Good. So it'll be in the future, then.
I wouldn't bet on it.
No.
So we leave these young lovers together. Together in a crow's nest, 150 feet above the ship's deck. But in another part of the ocean, not so far away now, another ship is becalmed.
Sorry to bother you. Any chance of a cushion? Only I've scuffed my knees.
Get down!
I have a plan.
What's your plan?
The ship. The ship with all the jewels.
Yes.
I have a plan on how to get on board without wasting much cannonballs.
I can't wait to hear it.
You know, down below, in the hold...
Yes.
What have we got?
We've got dynamite.
Yeah.
We've got a rum. And for some bizarre reason best known to yourself, we've got... sheep.
Sir, I've got to
draw
the line
somewhere.
Stay down.
Well, here's the plan.
Yeah, what's this plan, then?
We roll alongside the ship,
yeah,
right?
Coming up avast.
Say we've got some meat on board, which we'd like to sell them, protein and that. We'll feed the sheep with the dynamite.
Yes, I like your thinking.
Get them drunk.
On the rum, yes.
Let them on board.
Yes.
And then throw a match on deck.
Yes.
Exploding bar lambs all over the place. They'll be like, putty in our hands.
And so they went off to put their evil plan into operation. Meanwhile, back on HMS Endeavour, the captain is sleeping. But as he sleeps, his crewmen stealthily creep around his cabin with knives in their mouths.
Sorry, no. For God's sake, somebody open a window. I can't look. The duvet's floating 5 inches above the bed. Come in.
A mutiny.
Yes, that's right, a mutiny.
I suppose you're mutinying because of... Well, because of my problem.
No, really?
I'm not ashamed of my problem.
Well, you should be. Frankly, it's disgusting.
You go down for a shout, he's got a cork.
Oh, no!
Don't you point that
ball. One step forward and I pull out this cork.
All right, all right. Damn you. Damn you to hell. But can't you see? Look at the state we're in. The food's nearly run out. The water's bad. There's the risk of scurvy, sir. You know that. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to pull this cork out, frankly.
And so there was a loud explosion, and so ended the mutiny. And another part of the ship, sleeping after his assignation, was young Robert. But his was not a restful sleep. He was haunted by dreams. Dreams of the things his parents had told him as a child.
Robert, you are naughty, Bobby. Will you come riding today, Robert?
Oh, who are you? I don't know who you are.
Oh, what a very ball, Robert. Thank you. Why am I doing here? Oh, what a big house, Robert.
Hello, Bobby.
Robert.
And from the mists of his dream emerged a vision. A vision of a house.
Lord Masterson.
A large house.
Hello, Bobby Masterson.
A letter for you.
Never open the locket.
Mr. Masterson?
Yes,
And his dreams slowly, slowly faded.
Goodbye, Bobby.
He was awoken at the sound of sheep coming aboard the ship. He went on deck to find out what was happening.
Bring those sheep on board.
Oh, and the price for them, sir?
The price? Well... How much do you want?
2 gold sovereigns.
And 4 doubloons. And a demerald, if you've got any.
Yeah.
A demerald?
Yes. I hear you have some in a casket.
So the sheep were taken on board. But as soon as they're on board, the Black Mane put her evil plan into operation. And she started to detonate the dynamite placed... There are exploding sheep everywhere. Pieces of mutton and lamb flying all over the place.
Bang!
Bang!
Max, look, we got kebabs!
Oh, hey!
Anybody got any mint sauce?
And as the smoke cleared, there, standing, on top the poop deck was the Black Mane, her cutlass in her hand, surveying the defeated crew of the Endeavour.
My name is the Black Mane.
My name's Gerald.
Get down. Yeah. I now take control of this ship and all who sail in her. So, Captain, what's that smell?
Excuse me, I'm terribly sorry.
It's me that you'll look to now. You take orders from me.
But she had not reckoned on Robert. Suddenly, he appeared behind the Black Mane and placed a dagger at her throat.
So fast, Black Mane. I have two things pressed against your back. One of them is a dagger.
The other one a toothpick.
Yes, it is.
Don't kill me.
Why shouldn't I kill you? Give me one good reason why I should let you live.
I know a secret.
A secret?
I know where you can find some treasure. I got it buried in a little beach in America.
You have the secret to some treasure which is buried in a little beach in America.
That's right. Don't kill me and I'll give you the map.
I think I'm going to kill you simply because of what you've just told me.
So he plunged the dagger into her, as she had plunged the dagger into so many others, and she sank to the floor. And with that, all the courage went from the pirates. The crew threw down their cutlasses and gave themselves up. Robert had single-handedly defeated them. He was a great, great hero.
Thank you very much.
He was thanked by Grace Selhurst and, of course, comely Catherine.
I can't thank you enough for your kindness.
That's all right. Money will do.
I have much money, but wait a moment. What's that hanging around your neck?
My mother gave me this locket, and she told me under no circumstances should I ever open this locket. There we are.
Yes.
By God.
Look, Catherine.
It looks exactly like you, sir, only with a very bushy moustache.
Yes. You know what this means, don't you, Catherine? If this man's mother gave him this locket, it means his mother must be...
A Masterson, yes, it was true. His mother had given him the locket as a sign of his true identity.
Good Lord.
It was a portrait of a Masterson of long ago. A portrait recognised by Grace Selhurst because...
I know the family well.
Thank you. He certainly had a bigger future than he had imagined, especially when a very large demerald was handed over by Grace to him as reward for his heroic efforts.
I'd like you to take this demerald of multicoloured hues, and it's worth 25 zillion trillion willion jingling pounds.
How much?
25 zillion billion willion jingling dolling tongue dime pounds.
I see the exchange rate has changed.
And with that, Lady Grace retired to her cabin, leaving young Robert alone.
Be good.
With Cumberly Catherine.
I will, miss.
They stood with a future ahead of them, a future much brighter than...
Do you know what this means?
What does it mean, Robert?
It means we have money.
Will you stop your gambling debts?
Only in the future.
And so it was that they went into the future. They went into the future together. Together as man and wife. With the Masterson Inheritance. In The Masterson Inheritance, you heard Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson and Jim Sweeney. Dialogue, music and sound effects were improvised live at the Paris studio. The studio managers were John Whitehall, Wilfred Acosta and David Blount. The producer was Phil Clark.